do welcome our visitors, and we're certainly thankful for the good songs tonight. And I want to share some scripture from you with you tonight from the first chapter of Philippians. And I was thinking about something I heard. I used to have a tape where a Baptist preacher had preached a sermon and recorded it on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And in that sermon, he spoke a lot about the things that the Apostle Paul had written in his lifetime. And we know he wrote much of the New Testament scriptures. But this man began to try in his own way to describe the life of the Apostle Paul. And I'd never heard anybody say anything quite like what he said when he read from one of Paul's epistles. He said, "These were the words of that man that walked all over the pagan world and proclaimed the unsearchable riches of Christ." He said he turned every house into a chapel and every street corner into a pulpit. He said he lit the lamp of the gospel even in Caesar's household. And after he had done all these things, he sat in Nero's cell in chains and conquered Rome by writing letters. And I'll tell you, the Apostle Paul, through the help of God, did accomplish a lot in the writing of letters. And I want to read from one of those letters tonight. And I think often, try to think anyway, of what he went through. And, you know, I realize tonight that we're nothing and we can't do anything at all without the Lord. But it amazes me what God can do through people. And he certainly accomplished a lot of good things through his servant who we know as the Apostle Paul. And I think often of him setting in those horrible conditions that he must have been in and writing these beautiful words that we have pinned down in these letters. And I thank God for his word. I thank him for his inspired word. This is not man's word, it's God's word. And, you know, people have made the silly argument for years that why should we pay any attention to the Bible? It was written by men. But, you know, truly man did nothing but scribe it. The Holy Ghost is the author of all Scripture, and he moved upon the hearts and minds of holy men as they spake. And I thank God for his inspired word. It means a lot to me and has meant a lot to me in my life. I want to read from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. And please pray for me tonight. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." And I'll stop my reading there with verse 26. I guess that this week in the revival effort, I've had a lot of the old songs on my mind that I've heard sung all of my lifetime. I used the words from one of those songs for a title just a few nights ago, and I want to do that again tonight. And the title, my message for my thought tonight will be, It Is Better Farther On. I want to begin by, as Brother Forshee has already done, I want to begin by with a little bit of reflection and make just a few comments about what we were blessed to witness and experience here yesterday evening. I have thought throughout the day, my mind went back to last night many times about the good service that God blessed us with. I love to be with God's people in God's house when God is present with us and we can feel His presence through the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful place to be. And I thought about how that the Spirit of God came and just granted great liberty among us. And people began to rejoice and to testify. And I thank God for the beautiful testimonies that I was privileged to hear yesterday evening. I thank the Lord for the good sermon that I was privileged to hear yesterday evening. I thought about how that the way that the service went last night and how that Brother Forshee really didn't preach a great length of time. He didn't preach as long as he normally does, but he said so much in the time that he did. So many wonderful words of truth were spoken. And these things are of the Lord. And these things and what we feel. And I want you to, I want to say this to you that are here tonight that are lost, that what we feel and what motivates us and the one that is present with us that produces these things among us is God, the Holy Spirit of God. And this is not something that's man-made. And it's not something that man could manufacture if he tried. Only God is able to bless His people in that way. And so as we think about that, and I wanted to, for some reason today, this thought kept bearing upon my heart and upon my mind to speak to you that might be here tonight that are not saved about what you witnessed, about what you experienced. Because, you see, we want you to have what we have. We want you to know the same God that we know. Of all of the great things that salvation works in us, one thing that salvation never does is it never makes people jealous. When somebody gets saved, they want to see other people be saved. And we want to see you be saved the way that we have been saved and have what we have and feel what we feel and know what we know. And so I know that there may be many times when people are among the people of God and God does bless His people in that way. And we begin to rejoice in hope and in the glory of a living God, and we begin to testify, and people begin to shout and express their joy in different ways. We know from what we read in the Bible that there oftentimes there are those that don't understand what's happening. We read about one account in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the first couple of chapters there where what we know as the great day of Pentecost. And they were gathered together and they were praying and they were waiting for the promise that Jesus had given them of great power. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with it, with that great power from on high. And they were there, and they were praying, and they were waiting, and the Spirit of God came as a rushing mighty wind from heaven, and it filled the house. And there were those that, from what we read there, obviously it caused them to be, it caused them to begin to act differently and do things that didn't seem to be quite normal. And there were those that witnessed that, and they said, well, these men are drunk on new wine. They thought that they were actually intoxicated. And in one sense of the word, they were. But the Apostle Peter assured those men that they were not drunk on new wine, but the prophecy of Joel was being fulfilled when God said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon them. And so what was happening there that made those people around them think that they were had been drinking and that they were drunk was that the Spirit of God had filled their souls and was moving them and motivating them to do things that in people's minds weren't considered to be normal behavior. Sometimes we are blessed to witness that today, that the Spirit of God comes in among us and moves us in that way, and we begin to respond to that in ways that seem to be to people unusual and not normal and strange behavior. But I'm glad that the Spirit of God dwells with us. And of all that we experience here in this life, and what I really want to talk to you about goes beyond this life, that there are things that are better farther on. We are only going to spend a short time in this life. No matter how many years that you live on the earth, your life is going to be short. The Bible teaches us that very plainly, that our life is a vapor that just appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I remember reading about Jacob when when Jacob and his family finally came into Egypt. And the Pharaoh asked Jacob a question. He said, Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob's answer to the Pharaoh was, the days of the years of my pilgrimage have been 130 years. And he said, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. So here was a man that had lived to be 130 years old, that was telling the Pharaoh that his life had been but just a few days. And we've heard the scripture already several times in this revival meeting from Job chapter 14, verse 1. Job said that as well. He said, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And so our lives here on the earth are short. But thank God that we can know the goodness of the Lord while we live here. The things that we can experience through Christ, they are good while we live. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. What a wonderful friend that you have if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that he is that one that Solomon spoke about when he said that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm convinced that he was talking about the Lord. And what a wonderful thing that it is to know the Lord while you live here in this world. And I also want to remind you again, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, that you only have what you have within the bounds of this short life that you're going to live here on the earth to get saved and be ready for eternity. There are people in the world today, and there have been for many years, that tell people that they can take care of that even after that they have died. But I want you to know that that will not stand up in the light of God's holy word. Brother Forshee spoke about those two men in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And the Bible speaks about the fact that they both died. Lazarus died. The beggar Lazarus died. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And that's exactly the way it is for people today. When we die and leave this world, we either go to heaven or we go to hell, and that will be the final state. Nothing is going to be changed after this life. And so, lost friend, you only have the time that you have here, and only God knows how much time that you're going to have. You only have the few short days that you dwell here on the earth to seek the Lord and to be prepared for the hour of your death. But I thank God for the blessings that He has bestowed upon me in my life. When you stop and think about the goodness of God, when you stop and think about the things that He has done for us and the things that He does for us from day to day, we sing and talk oftentimes about counting our blessings, but the truth is we can't count our blessings. They are more than could possibly be numbered. And if we could count them, by the time we got them counted, God would have blessed us so many more times. And we just cannot count the numerous blessings of God in our lives. Lost friend, tonight, you know, it is my great desire that you would come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. That was the Apostle Paul's desire towards people. That was his desire towards his kinsmen according to the flesh, the Israelites. He wrote about that in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And it certainly is my desire tonight. I know that it's Brother Forshee's desire. I know that it's the desire of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, that you would be saved, that you would come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. The greatest thing is that that is God's desire towards you. He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We know what God's will is towards those who are lost. We are taught very plainly in the Scriptures what His will is, and that is that all would be saved. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so He made a way for people to be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God did everything that was necessary in order for you to be saved. He hasn't left anything at all undone. And you have the opportunity and you have the privilege to come to the Lord and to repent of your sins and trust Him for the salvation of your soul and experience the greatest thing that man could ever possibly know. Salvation is the greatest experience between God and men. What a wonderful thing that it truly is to know the Lord. But I wanted to speak about this to you as well. And if you're lost, again, I want you to consider this with me. When you witness what you witnessed yesterday evening, and perhaps you have witnessed at other times, although God is so good to us and has blessed us so much in this life, we don't only rejoice in what we experience here. We rejoice. Our hearts are filled with hope and filled with the thought of what lies ahead, of what's coming out there a little bit further on. The Apostle Paul seemed to have a wonderful vision of that while he traveled through this life. In his writing here to the Philippians, where I have read from, he said, I am in a strait betwixt two. He had a great dilemma. He was really torn. I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which he said is far better. And, you know, many of us here could say tonight that we have had a good life while we have lived here on the earth. We could say that the Lord has been good to us because he has been. We have experienced his love and we've experienced his mercy and his grace and his blessings and his friendship and companionship, and he has lifted our hearts up together, and he has raised us up together at times and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ and just set our souls at liberty and set us to great rejoicing. The Lord has done that for us many times here on the earth. But what we have witnessed here, what we were blessed to experience last night, and what we have witnessed here, I'm convinced, is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Tonight, we have a need of setting our hearts and our minds on things that are beyond this world. Things that are beyond time. Because Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And I believe that he was experiencing that while he was here. He was experiencing the goodness of God. He was experiencing the blessings and the friendship of God. And I know him here. For me to live here in the world is Christ. But to die is gain. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Not only did the Apostle Paul know that that was waiting him, not only did he know that he had that type of hope, but he obviously had a great yearning in his soul for that day to come. My desire, he said, is to depart. Now, I never used to be able to understand this when I was a young boy and when I was lost. I never used to be able to understand this because my mother would talk a lot about the time that she would get to leave the world. And it seemed to me like that when she would talk about that, I would get this in my mind. I would get this thought in my mind that, you know, she must have some kind of a death wish. I just didn't understand that because she was always making reference to and bringing up the time that she would leave the world and go to a better world. And I always thought, well, she must desire to die or something. But you know, as I got older, and especially when I got saved and I began to realize and to learn from the scriptures that that's not what it's about. It's a desire to experience what we know is ahead. The Apostle Paul answered that question, I believe, for me very plainly when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, "For we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so that being clothed we shall not be found naked." And it's not a desire to die, it's a desire to live. It's not a desire to be unclothed, but it's a desire to be clothed upon. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. And that's what Paul was seeing, and that's what he was feeling, and that's what he was realizing, that beyond this world, beyond these prison bars, beyond this bondage that he was sitting in and writing these epistles, beyond this, there's something better for me, something far better for me. And the reason that it is better is because he was going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what heaven's about. I like every aspect that the Bible teaches me about my future eternal home. I like to read about that crystal clear river, transparent as glass, that proceeds out of the throne of God, that has the tree of life on either side of it. I like to read about the streets of gold, the walls of jasper. I like to read about the fact that there will be a day when God will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death, and there will be no more sorrow, and there will be no more crying, and there will be no more pain, because the former things have passed away. And what a joyous thought that is, and what beautiful things to read about. But the greatest thing about heaven, and what I like to set and read the most, is that there in that place on the throne, that we will be in the presence of Christ. We will be in the presence of the one that saved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he obviously had this on his mind, that he wanted to go. He wanted to depart. He wanted to leave behind the chains. He wanted to leave behind the troubles. He wanted to leave behind the sorrows. He wanted to leave behind all of those things, and he wanted to go and to be with Christ. He knew that he would be, that things would be better for him there. Friends, it will be. I promise you that what we've experienced here thus far on the earth and the blessings of God are so real to us, and the presence of God is so real to us, and God has made me rejoice here in this life. I wish that I would stay closer to him than what I do, that I might experience more of it. But the goodness of God, he has made me rejoice in this life at times, that I would just lose sight of everything and lose myself in the Lord. I think I know a little bit about what Paul was saying when he said that he was beside himself. But it's going to get better farther on. There is an eternity that is waiting for all of us. I'm glad that I've been saved. I'm thankful to God that when I think about dying, when I think about the time that comes for me, when it's time to leave this world, that I'm not going to lose anything. I'm not going to lose one thing. For me to live is Christ. He has blessed me here in this life, and to die is gain. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the things of this life behind, and I'm going to go someplace that's going to be better than it's ever been here. I can't describe it to you. You know that. I can't tell you tonight what it's really like. You know that. Heaven is something that we're just going to have to experience, and we're going to have to see it to really know how good it's going to be. But I know it's going to be a beautiful place. I know it is a beautiful place. I know that heaven is really going to shine. And I know that our hearts are going to be glad there. I know that in heaven we're never going to have a cross word with each other. I know that in heaven love is going to prevail, and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord forever and forever. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy from prison when he knew that his time was really close. He wrote to him and he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And listen, sinner friend, to the bright hope that he had. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What a wonderful thing to be coming down to the day of your death and have that hope that you know that there's something better just beyond the border of time and eternity. You know that something better is waiting. He wrote to the Colossians, and he gave instructions to the children of God of how we ought to live with these things in mind. In Colossians chapter 3, he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We, as God's people, we need to maintain a great vision of heaven. We need to keep that before us. We need to retain the thoughts of that in our mind and in our heart, because there's something that it will accomplish if we do. We won't be so taken in by the things of this world if we'll keep the things of heaven before us. If we're risen with Christ, Paul said, seek those things which are above and set your affections on those things, not on the things of the earth. Lost friend, I want to tell you tonight that there is a heaven to be gained and there is a hell to be shunned. Those of us that have been saved, we're going home. We're going home. Here in just a little while, we're going to be at home. We're going to lay this life aside, lay down the walks of this temporal life, and we're going home. Do you think sometimes that maybe we forget that we're only on a journey here? I'll tell you what, if you keep an active and a vivid vision of heaven before your eyes, it will help you in this life. When the times of trouble come, we think about what's just ahead. Reflect upon what lies just
a few short days ahead for us when the time that we'll be able to leave those things behind, because there's one thing I can tell you about heaven. There's one thing that I can promise you about when we get to go home to be with the Lord, and that is that we won't take one problem or one type of trouble from this life into heaven. We'll leave every bit of it outside the gates of heaven, and we'll never be bothered by it again. There won't be anybody sick there. There won't be anybody sorrowful there. There won't be anybody that's dying. There won't be anybody with cancer. There won't be anybody that's crippled. There won't be any of those things that have plagued us here. They'll be done. God will have put all of those things behind us, and we'll be at home with the Lord. We're just pilgrims here. We're just pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Lost friend, there is a place called hell. The Bible in the 25th chapter of Matthew talks about the great day when the Lord returns. And it says that he's going to come in the clouds of heaven, and he's going to gather all nations before him, and he's going to begin to divide the saved from the lost, just like a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he's going to take the sheep, and he's going to set them on the right hand. He's going to take the goats, or those that are lost, and he's going to set them on the left hand, and he's going to separate his children from those who are not his children. And then he's going to say to those on the right hand, those who are saved, those who are his children, he's going to say to us, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he's going to say to the lost, those on the left hand, he's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, he didn't speak about any place in between, did he? He said there's a heaven and there's a hell. And lost friend, let me assure you tonight, you don't want to miss heaven. And I pray that you won't miss heaven. But you certainly need to escape the damnations of hell. Jesus, one time speaking to a group of Pharisees, Matthew chapter 23, we have record where Jesus was in a conversation with a group of Pharisees. And all they believed in was religion. They just had an outward showing of religion, and that's all they had. And the Lord talked to them, and he said, you generation of vipers. He talked to them about how that they would clean up the outside. Clean up the outside of the cup and the platter. That externally, on the outside, they looked good. They appeared righteous before men. But within, they were full of extortion and all and excess and all uncleanliness. He compared them to whited sepulchers. He said, a white gravestone or grave marker. He said, you are like unto whited sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful to men outwardly, but within you are full of dead men's bones. They didn't have anything in their hearts. They didn't have the indwelling Spirit of God. And you must be born again. You must be born again. Hell is real. It awaits all those that fail to get right with God. Those that die and leave this world unprepared. Friend, if you do, you're going to join that rich man. You're going to join all the others that had the opportunity to get right with God, but didn't do it. And you're going to have to spend eternity in the torments of that place, and you're going to miss heaven, and you're never going to have another opportunity. That rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he looked across that great gulf that was fixed there between them, and he saw Lazarus there comforted in heaven. He cried out for mercy. There wasn't any. Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But he didn't get any water. He didn't get any mercy. There is no mercy. Mercy is forever gone. There's no more access to God's mercy, no more access to his grace, no more access to his love. Right now, there is. Right now, you have the opportunity. We're going to heaven. Those of us who are saved, we're going home. We're going to heaven. We're going to that place which is far better, just as soon as we finished our lives here. And we want you to go. We don't want you to miss heaven. That's why we labor. That's why we preach the gospel to you. We don't want you to miss heaven. We certainly don't want you to experience the eternal torments of hell. But the reality is that our lives are short. Our lives are short, and then we die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You're going to die. And you're going to face eternity, either saved or lost. Right now, you have the opportunity to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul, and I pray that you'll take advantage of that. Let's have a song. And while we stand and sing, I want to encourage you that are lost to come to the Lord. Come and seek after him with all your strength, that you might come to know him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. I would to God, when you leave here tonight, that you'll know what we know, that you'll be able to know that heaven is your home, that you're going someplace better. So let's stand and sing. I appreciate your attention.
321. Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by, and your life is spent in folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. Hear you not the earnest pleadings of your friends that wish you well? And perhaps before tomorrow you'll be called to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning. life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God.
Our Heavenly Father, dear God in heaven, I once again wonder through the continuation of your mercy, your love,
Father,
and
Lord, Lord,
give us the opportunity to bow and
all for my brother.
Offering heaven,
blessing
as we bow here in your divine presence.
Lord, we pray to you. 341. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Pain we bear, oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
129.
Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus.
For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Of course, I will say tonight, in the blue book, number 234. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, oh yes, he cares, I know he cares, his heart is touched with my grief. When the day dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does my care enough to be near? Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares, his heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I've had no relief, though my tears flow all the night long, oh yes, he cares, I know he cares, his heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it all to him? Does he see? Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares, his heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Find your place. Close. Wherever you need to be, just be here. that life is yours, that Father, death is your, and after death, Father, there is salvation and much more. The Lord Christ Jesus has given the cleansing.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Father, for knowing within our hearts that the sons
of others that have born again,
Jesus is born to be our
heart. Your word.
We pray, Father, that you will pick up with us. We meet together here from time to time.
Lord, we might find that you come this
day. Father, the first night of this meeting, we pray, dear God, that we might be able to glorify our Lord. Father, that your church would be terrified. Dear God in heaven, most of all,
Number 81. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, freely, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make up my troubles quickly and end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, he all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Number 330 at the bottom.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.